how a chance meeting as a tourist in Italy changes someone's life. It could happen to you. Please listen to the Joan Hamburg original podcast, Let Me Tell You, part of the OG Podcast Network. Welcome to Let Me Tell You, the Joan Hamburg's original podcast, and you can reach us all the time on the OG Podcast Network. Today, actually, really interesting woman who did not grow up in Italy, grew up in America, in Michigan, but ended up with a huge career in the world of Italian food, and it's all because she went on a vacation, and guess what? She met a guy. It's what people dream about, but it actually happened to her. We have a really fun, delicious interview straight ahead. And, well, this, what I'm going to tell you about is not necessarily Italian, but I love to share my week with you and all the different things. So I want to remind you that July 8th, right around the corner, is French Restaurant Week. It's during Bastille Week, and they've done it 10 years in a row. It's pretty good. Under $18 for an amuse-bouche, which is like a little hors d'oeuvre, a taste, with a drink. Lunch for $25, dinner for $42. 19 restaurants participate. It's fun because you get to meet other people who were there for the same reason. And we were talking about 4th of July, and I had mentioned on the Joan Hamburg Show Saturdays at 1 o'clock that people love to go on these boat trips, be out on the river during the fireworks, and just enjoy one of the great fireworks in the world is our 4th of July, thanks to Macy's. And even the Circle Line has a trip from the Hudson River and 42nd Street, the American Princess Cruise from South Street Seaport, and the Sea Streak Ferry from Atlantic Highlands in New Jersey. Now, they're not cheap, but honestly, it's worth it. If you've never done the fireworks like that, you can literally almost touch them. And for those of you who are not going to be in the city but are going out to the Hamptons, I've got a couple of thoughts for you. I had mentioned on my Saturday show that I had a really good dinner at Paola's restaurant in Manhattan on Madison Avenue. Well, this restaurant has opened on a Petigo Road in East Hampton. It's their East End branch, and they have really good pasta. Linguine with clams. They're buying from a lot of local fish people and farmers. They have the best salads. It's going to be a big space. Three bars, indoor-outdoor dining, believe it or not, yoga in the garden, and games so that you can go over in the afternoon and really have a good time. Now, one of my kids told me that Nick and Tony's, which we love and have been going to for years, still the most fun, and sit on the porch, just lovely food. And if you care about celebrities, they're there. But they have taken a space next to their La Fondita, to Taqueria, as a restaurant called Coche, C-O-C-H-E, Comedor, C-O-M-E-D-O-R, Mexican food, and weekend brunch. Homemade tortillas with seafood and meat, and they still have that great wood-burning grill and rotisserie. Sangria, a lot of fun. And then in Amagansett, Morty's Oyster Stand on Montauk Highway. And you know, if you've drive out there, you know Cyril's Fish House. They've taken over that space, and they have really good food, including the Cyril's drinking Bailey's Banana Colada. I mean, you better eat if you're going to drink that too. A lot of good stuff. And one of our favorites, Boswick's, which is just part of the Hamptons history, they have a second location, and you'll want to do that. They have really good seafood pasta, and a lot of drinks. And then getting a lot of press is the Brooklyn Chop House at 281 County Road, 39A in Southampton, in the Capri Hotel. And they've got surf, turf, whatever you want to call it. And I read that Pat LaFreda steaks and burgers are there, a lot of good dumplings, and a really hot crowd. So that's just a little bit about some of the hot new restaurants in the Hamptons. And you know what? In the summer, as it gets rolling on weekends, this is your time to go to big restaurants you can't get into in Manhattan because they're quiet in the summer. And they're happy to welcome you. So put that on your list. And by the way, if you're planning on going to the Hamptons, either to eat in these restaurants or go to one of my favorites, Sag Harbor, which is so much fun, and you can sit on the porch of the American Hotel, and there's a little shack on the dock at the end of Main Street where you can get whatever, fish and chips, lobster, lobster roll, crab, and sit on the bench and just eat it. But right there in Sag Harbor, right before you hit the outside dock, which goes all the way down, you're going to see the Bay Street Theater, which is one of our treasures. L.A. Law's Jill Eikenberry and Michael Tucker are going to be at the Bay Street Theater on July 1st. They call it Music Mondays. So check it out. Add that to your list and enjoy. It's also a good time to go to theater. And you can go to Tickets Booth on Times Square, see what you can get, or go right to the box office because you don't pay a lot of extra fees when you buy from the box office. So enjoy everything and come join us and meet our guest and hear her story. You're going to want to go to Italy or at least cook Italian food. I'm Joan Hamburg. Let me tell you next. Welcome to the Joan Hamburg Show. And I love cookbooks, I love travel, and I love going to Italy many years. And a lot of you came with us on group trips from our radio station. We would go, 10 of us, every year, hiking with the group in London. And we loved Italy, and we'd go everywhere. Umbria and Sicily, you name it, we had a ball. I got the most beautiful book. It's called The Italian Table, Creating Festive Meals for Family and Friends, Elizabeth Minchilli. And not only is this cookbook number 9, but it's more than a cookbook. It's a whole way of life. And Elizabeth takes you all over Italy. You learn the culture, the food, the traditions, and learn how to do a meal and how to set a table, because food in Italy is much more than, all right, let's sit down and have dinner and get it over with. So I'm curious, Elizabeth. You have blogs, you have websites, you lead tours. You don't even look tired.
Well, you know, I was talking to somebody else and they said the same thing. And it's that I think all this stuff energizes me. It's hard to call it a job when you're and it all revolves around Italian food.
But and you're doing it yourself. But where did you grow up?
I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri.
So American family or Italian family?
Absolutely American family.
So where did you come from?
Where did I come from? Well, it was my parents moved to pick my sisters and I up when I was 12 years old. And moved us to Italy for 2 years just because they could. They went on vacation and fell in love with it. And they went back to St. Louis, sold our house, sold our business, and moved us to Rome for 2 years.
And were they happy in Rome?
Very, very. But after 2 years, I think real life sort of came back.
Right.
And we moved back to New York. But we always went back during the summers. And I finally moved back on my own in graduate school.
So Were you, how many are you?
We're three sisters.
Uh-huh. And were you the sister that got the bug?
I got the bug bad, yeah. Mm-hmm. I also got the Italian husband, so that helped too.
Yeah, well, that was an interesting thing. Was that when you were a young girl in Italy?
It was when I was in graduate school, and I was just sort of deciding.
Graduate school here?
I was at NYU. I was studying architecture, actually Renaissance garden architecture, mm-hmm. at the Institute of Fine Arts at NYU, and I was doing research in Florence, you know, going through Medici archives, shopping lists, and thinking, this is really great. I don't want to go back to the States, really, and trying to figure out what I could do to stay there, and that's when I met my husband, Domenico.
And he grew up in Italy?
He's from Bari, which is the capital of Puglia.
Yeah, I know Bari
very
well.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And so but he was living in Rome at the time, and I was living in Florence. And within a year, I was in Rome and married and with an Italian baby and Italian.
Your parents, though, were they upset?
No, not at all. No, no. In fact, my father ended up moving half the year to Italy.
You're kidding.
No.
Good for him. So does he live near you?
He does. He does. We're neighbors up in Umbria.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
But it's great. And your girls, you brought up Italian daughters.
They were both born in Rome. Mm-hmm. And one of them, Sophie, is very, very, very Roman and never wanted to leave. And I'm lucky for that because she works with me with our food tour business.
And your mom, was she a cook? Now, of course, you can't travel without developing a love for food because that's part of the joy.
But no, we were one of those families who woke up and over breakfast discussed what we were having for dinner.
Yeah.
So we were focused on that, but in a different way. But my mom was always sort of adventurous as a cook. And you know, she was the first one, in the 60s to make tacos. And, you know, she was the one buying artichokes, you know, when they were sort of exotic. And so I grew up eating well.
And at what stage did you decide, you were now married as a young woman, this is what I'm going to do? Was it a book? What started
it? Well, I was writing about art and architecture and design.
And by the way, the photographs are gorgeous, and I hear you took them.
I did. Mm-hmm. And well, what I did was when I left academia, I started writing for magazines that we all know, like Architectural Digest, Art and Antiques. But I also started writing for Food and Wine, Savour, Town and Country, and writing about culture, but that includes food. So mm-hmm. I started from the very beginning writing about food in a cultural context, whether it was restaurants or recipes. And the big change, though, came around 2010. And that's when I started my own blog. And I'd already written 6 books.
So people knew you.
People knew me very well because I was writing, 4 or 5 articles for all these magazines monthly. And so I had quite a long and successful career as a journalist. And so when I started my blog, people knew me already. And I didn't start out thinking, I'm only going to write about food.
Mm-hmm.
But all I ever wrote about was about food because I think I was sort of tired about writing about art and architecture. And this was how I was expressing myself. And also there was, I'm sure you know at the time, there was a real curiosity from people to know more about food more in depth.
Right. And food and culture are hand in hand.
I agree.
You can't do one without the other. And especially in Europe and in Italy, it isn't just a meal, even though you point out in this gorgeous book, The Italian Table, life has changed. No one is running off for 2 or 3 hours to have lunch during the week.
No, things have changed. And, you know, you don't have the non-at-home shopping and cooking a big meal at the midday. Mm-hmm. That said, people still care about what they eat. They're just doing it in a different rhythm, in a different way. And that's sort of what I hope to express in this book. People ask me all the time, but how do you guys do it, eating pizza, pasta, and gelato all the time? And while we do that, being an Italian, we do it at specific times in specific ways. And those are some of the things I explore in the book.
Exactly. You know, you're just not running and stuffing it in.
No, never.
You're paying a lot of attention to it.
Always, always. And, you know, what I say is the Italians take food very, very seriously. And they don't take it seriously at all, just because it's sort of so much part of their daily life that it comes naturally. And you know, even when they're doing something as simple as having an espresso and it might only take 4 minutes, it's a social interaction. You're talking to your barista, you're talking to the lady next to you. And it's something, you know, they would never get a coffee to go because that social interaction would be completely lost.
Exactly. And everything from the morning coffee is all part of the scene. And it's a fascinating trip because although lunch may no longer be the 2-3 hour extravaganza, everyone who can has Sunday supper, whether it's just their family, the neighbors. It's together.
You get together and you gather around the table. And in fact, one of the chapters is on a big Sunday lunch outside of Parma. You know, it's complete with a nonna rolling out handmade tortellini.
I know. And I thought, but would I really make tortellini? But you said you can do it.
You can do it with practice. But you know what? I also give you permission to go and buy your ravioli. Mm-hmm. So that's okay, too. The most important thing for me is putting the meal together and sharing it with friends. So if you're if you can make as much of this as possible, and I do try and make it easy for people.
You actually do. You make us hungry, and you make it easy.
I give you a game plan. But I also give you shortcuts.
And you take us to the region, whether it's Sicily, whether you're going where there's a porchetta truck, which is the big thing. Now, we have food trucks everywhere. Most of them are tacos. I have two or three in my neighborhood, and everyone lines up, all the construction guys. But in your case, this is a tradition, porchetta. And you make it, but you don't do it the way they used to do it.
Well, because who can find, first of all, an entire pig?
And who wants to?
And who has enough people to feed an entire pig, too? So when I make my homemade porchetta recipe, it's with a piece of pork belly. And, you know, it serves up to 12 people.
So it's crispy on the outside.
It's nice and fat and juicy. And literally, you season it, roll it up, put it in the oven, and don't think about it. So it makes a perfect centerpiece to a big sort of outdoor picnic.
And you take all these regions and, you know, Italy, every region has its own face. And it's hard to tell which is your favorite because you love all of them.
Yeah, I don't have a favorite. And people ask me that all the time. What's your favorite dish? What's your favorite meal? I am an equal opportunity eater. And there's always something new to discover. That's also the great thing about Italy is that food changes so much, not just from region to region, but from town to town. So it was a joy sort of doing the research that this book involved.
Right, whether you're sitting on a beach somewhere or bringing a picnic.
Exactly. And what I tried to do in the book was include as many different types of meals as possible. For instance, you mentioned, you know, eating on the beach. You know, how do Italians eat on the beach? And they eat on the beach, but it's not a messy sort of, you know, picnic affair. They actually, there's these pop-up restaurants. They're basically shacks. Right. And there's a specific kind of food that is served there on specific plates with specific glasses. You drink a kind of wine. And I give you a menu for sort of recreating that.
Which is terrific. And the recipes are not hard. And you give a sweet, not that big on sweets, right?
Well, you know, that's funny.
It's changing?
No, because I realized that only at the end of the book. Because I didn't start out with a list of recipes as part of the outline. I started out with a very vague outline that was slowly filled in as I ate these meals. And it was only at the end that I realized I didn't really have that many desserts. And that's because often at meals, Italians aren't finishing their meal with a dessert.
Right.
It'll probably be a piece of fruit on most days.
Better.
It's only special occasions. And so I do have recipes for some desserts. I have a really great recipe for chocolate hazelnut biscotti. And every single chapter does have something sweet to finish on. But they're
not. Custard that looks so good.
There's that wonderful mangio bianco. Yep.
I wanted to go home and make that.
It's really easy, really good. The cookies are good. There's a really lovely recipe for poached pears with caramel syrup on top. But no, it's not heavy on sweets because Italians aren't heavy on sweets.
No. And when your girls were growing up, what was their favorite? What was their mommy meal?
Pasta with butter.
Still, right?
You know, and always, that's still what they ask for.
They want homemade pasta?
Comfort. Oh, no. Never homemade pasta. So it's always, you know, spaghetti. And they have their favorite shapes, you know, but usually it's spaghetti.
Right.
And, with butter. But, you know, good butter and good Parmesan cheese. A little bit of the pasta cooking water, which really brings it all together.
You know, Americans, as you know, are starting to understand the pasta cooking water because it was always thrown out.
Well, you know, that's probably also because a lot of the pasta that people are using is more industrially made. And it doesn't have a lot of the starch in it. But even in the most industrially made pastas, the pasta cooking water is an essential ingredient for bringing those non-sauce sauces together.
I really do love the book.
Oh, thank you.
And it's beautiful. And explain to people how they can become part of Elizabeth's world.
Well, you can become part of my world by visiting my website. It's Elizabeth.com. Minchili.com, and that's spelled Elizabeth Minchili, M-I-N-C-H-I-L-L-I.com. And there
pronounce
you can find
Minchili.
Minchili. Pronounce Minchili. And you can find there the links to my books, also the links to my app, Eat Italy. I have an app for eating your way through Italy. I also lead culinary tours. And I, you know, we lead these week-long tours with my daughter. And if you go to my website, the best way to keep sort of up to with what I'm doing is to sign up for my monthly newsletter.
We love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim, for
enjoy
having me.
Going back to Italy. I'm dreaming of it right now. In fact, I'm invited to a birthday party in Venice.
Come.
Yeah, it's not, but Venice is so crowded, but
it's okay. You can figure out a way.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Great food. Still one of my favorites. All right, everyone. Enjoy.